Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay in conjunction with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10 Media.
This is the Patreon mix.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, the right to remain silent.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. To an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. You understand your rights.
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made you should have turned to shit.
Warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I did not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're gonna get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. I am not Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. This is Toby Tomplay. I'm the producer of this show. And you guys, this is sort of a unique episode. This was a way to sort of turn lemons into lemonade, if you will. So Woody is not feeling great. He's under the weather right now. And what we decided to do was to take a Patreon slash convict episode, which are bonus episodes that only the Patreon and convict members have access to. And there is a vault with several of these bonus episodes inside of it. As y'all know, Woody is raw and unscripted. And the Patreon convict bonus episodes have a tendency to be a little more raw and a little more off the wall, I guess you could say, as the normal episodes, and you guys get to hear them unedited, just like he says it. And of course, you get your regular episodes at least one day early. Sometimes you get them several days early. And from time to time, like maybe once every year or so, we will release one to the public and replace it with another one. So this, what you're about to hear, is the November Patreon Convict bonus episode. And Patreon and Convict members, guess what? You're getting a brand new, unheard, bonus episode that will be available probably by the time you hear this. This episode that you are hearing right now dropped at midnight, and I would wager that you will have your new episode by probably lunch. And that's it. You guys enjoy the episode. If you're considering being a Patreon or Convict member, it's absolutely what makes Real Life Real Crime sustainable and possible. These bonus episodes are just one of many of the perks. So thank you guys so much for your support. And without further ado, this is a Patreon and Convict bonus episode. This is the
Patreon Mix. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this bonus Patreon and Convict episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. It's been a while, y'all, since I've done one of these, and I was thinking about a story, about some stories, actually, that happened when I was working the street. The other night, we went to a block party up in Watson, and I got to see some of my cop buddies that I hadn't seen in years and years and years, like Billy Amy. And what a mountain of a man that dude is. Make him our new Real Life Real Crime security chief. I mean, he must be like 6'8". I forgot how big he was. He's still a cop with Baton Rouge City Police Department. But we used to be on the SRT team together. And, of course, we worked the street together, et cetera, and known him for over 21 years. And we got to laughing and talking about some different things. But I'll tell you one night what happened. I was on uniform patrol, and for some reason, I was on the west side of the parish, which I've told y'all in the past, the parish is separated geographically east and west for law enforcement purposes, and it was probably like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, the bad guy hours, if you will. There's nobody on the road at that time of the night except for cops and bad guys, period. And, you know, bad guys or girls being drunks or you know, just drug dealers or whatever. So we got a call, a 107P, that's y'all's cop terms for suspicious person, right, at this new development of neighborhood that was going up, and nobody was living in there yet. It was, but the roads were blacktopped. They had the lots, and they were building some homes. And so, generally, on these type of situations, that's where people go and steal the materials that the contractors have on job sites. And we got the call came out as a white male in a truck that was seen going in and out of one of the houses. And I wasn't the closest unit, but I really wasn't busy. And I figured it was probably going to end up in a foot pursuit or something, right? And the thieves are going to run or vehicle pursuit. But I responded, and I showed up to back up two other deputies, and their blue and whites were there, and they had this truck that they actually caught him coming out of the neighborhood, and they had the driver out. They had the spotlight on. They were blocking him in from the front, so he couldn't get out. And I'm pulling up as they order him out of the truck, right? And this guy gets out, and he's a monster of a man. And this would remind me of Billy Amy, because, like I told you, he's like 6'8". But the deputies, and they were younger than me, and I was getting ready to go into detectives, but they get him out, and they start talking to him, and I walk up, and I'm listening, and they were like, you know, what are you doing here? And he's like, what the fuck you want? What are you stopping me for? What's your probable cause for stopping me? I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. We got another lawyer, right? Somebody's been watching too many TV shows and what have you. And so I wasn't interrupting them. I was just kind of, you know, standing to the side and in case sugar turned to shit, right? And like I said, this guy was a mountain of a man. And he had an extended cab, red Chevrolet truck. And while they're talking to him, I kind of ease around him to his backside. And he's turning it to me. And he's like, where the fuck you going? I said, bro, you don't need to worry about me. Answer their questions. And they asked him for his driver's license. He's like, fuck you, I'm not giving you my driver's license, and you bitches ain't got no reason to stop me. And I was like, you know, it's not really going well. But I took my flashlight and I shined it in the back of the truck, and it was loaded with boards, okay? And now lumber's expensive. And if you're a doper, you can go on these job sites and steal the copper or an air conditioner unit, whatever. It's not bolted down or whatever you can get to take in the hood, you know, to trade for a couple dollars or whatever, then that's what they do, right? So I'm coming back up to him, and they were really, really verbally getting into it now. He was refusing any kind of orders. He refused to produce his ID. He was cursing them, et cetera. But I used to be the field training officer and train the new uniform patrol guys. And I always told them, you start out low, right? You can start out low with whoever it is. By low, y'all, I mean, you don't have to get out cursing and hollering and expecting to get into the shit or whatever. If they start out high, meaning like this guy was, he was being a dick, right? And reason he's being a dick, because I'm guessing he was stealing the shit out of the neighborhood and he didn't want the popo talking to him. But so I'm listening to him, and they are, I mean, it's going downhill, and it's going downhill fast. And he's refusing to comply, won't show us driver's license, you know, telling them fuck you and da da da, you know. And they started raising their voice, going back, and I was like, you know what, hold on, just let me intervene. And I said, hey man, listen, I need you to calm down. And he was like, you don't tell me to calm down. I said, you know, I said, just calm down, I want you to step back here and talk to me. So what I was doing at that time, y'all, was diffusing the situation. I figured this asshole's going to jail, but I really didn't want to have to fight him, right? So I said, just step over here towards the rear of your vehicle with me. Step away from them. Let's restart. Let's hit reset. And he walked back with me. I didn't turn my back on him. Now I'm kind of at a 45-degree angle as he's walking with me in case he just decided to put hands on me or run or whatever. And also I was keeping my pistol side bladed away from him so he couldn't grab my gun or anything else. And we get back to the back of the truck, and we're probably 20 feet from the other two guys by this point. And I'm like, look, hey man, I'm Deputy Overton with the Sheriff's Office. We had a call of a suspicious person that's been pulling in and out of here in a red truck for the last, you know, hour or so. And it's like, well, I don't know. Yeah. I said, it's okay. Listen, what I'm going to do, I'm going to advise you your rights. You're not under arrest. I said, but I want you to understand your rights before I talk to you anymore. And so I advised him his rights. Y'all read them to him or told them to him. I didn't have to read them off a card or anything. Naturally, I know him, right? And I read it to him. He kind of gets quiet. And I said, now look, I said, what are you doing back here? And he is a massive man. Okay. We're standing at the tailgate of his truck. And he's kind of he's standing between the truck and me. I think he was trying to hide the boards in the back of the truck, which was too late. And I said, what are you doing back here? And he was like, I'm just driving around. I'm like, nobody lives back here, dude. This is, you know, new construction. And why are you back here? And it was like, well, I was just riding around looking for a home to buy. And now look, his truck was an old piece of shit. And I'm thinking, this is a really nice neighborhood that's going up probably $200,000 or $300,000 homes, et cetera. And I'm like, you really gonna tell me that? I mean, you're just out here riding. And he was like, yeah. And I had asked the other two deputies to stay away, right? Because I wanted to try to talk him down and get some juice out of him. And, you know, if it came to the point of throwing fists, you know, I didn't want it to reach that. You know, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar. But as I'm talking to him, I could see his pupils were extremely dilated and he was sweating profusely. I'm thinking he's probably on meth. But as I'm talking to him, he puts his hands in his, it was cold that night too, y'all. Let me tell you that, it was cold. You could, one of those cold, cold nights where you could see your breath, the mist off your fog or whatever the fuck you want to call it, off your breath. And he puts his hands, he puts his hands in his coat pocket. I think it was like one of those goose down vests. But he goes and puts his hands in his pocket. And immediately I tell him, I say, hey, I need you to take your hands out of your pocket for officer safety. And I haven't, you know, tried to shake him down or pat him down or anything at this point. I know it's coming, right? But I also know that when I'm engaged in a verbal conversation with him, he immediately complied and took his hands out of the pocket, right? And then we continue to talk. But I know he's going to put his hands back in his pockets again because either he's holding dope or, you know, they just forget. They put their hands back in the pocket. Well, guess what? He did it within 30 seconds. He puts his hands back in his pocket. And I told him what I always do. And then I said, listen, I've asked you once to take your hands out of your pockets for officer safety. I said, I don't know if you got a bazooka in there or machine gun or a rocket launcher. Or, you know, I said, so what I'm going to do now is ask you to turn around, put your hands on the truck, and I'm going to pat frisk you for officer.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion,
runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
For safety. And he kind of looked at me. I said, look, just turn around, put your hands on the truck. You're not under arrest. I'm going to pat frisk you for officer safety. And I gently went to put my hands on him, and he started to turn around. He put his hands on the truck, and I put my right foot in between his legs, and I kick his feet out just a little bit, gently now, y'all, in a non-aggressive manner. Yeah, that's way... When you do that, you have them a little bit off balance, right? Plus, you're going to shake down the inside of their legs. So what I put my left hand up on his back, and then it, you know, towards the back of his neck, and I have to reach up for that, and I start to pat frisk him down. I start on his arms, his right arm, pull down, and I reach over to his left arm, pull down, and I go down the front of his chest. And he's, remember now, he's leaning forward, his arms on the thing, and I go down his chest, and I hit his pocket. And when I did, I could feel what I believe through my experience to be a pipe, a glass stick, was a street term for it. And as soon as I hit that, and I said, and you know, I got my arm, my left arm up on his back, so I still got somewhat control on him. But remember, he's much bigger than me. And look, I wasn't a small guy. Yeah, I'm 6'2", but back then I was like 250, okay? I mean, it's many, many years. I was in my 30s, early 30s. But when I hit that pipe and I grabbed it through the jacket and I said, what's this? And he didn't answer me. I said, do you have anything in your pocket that's going to stick me? I said, I'm going to reach in your pocket and find out what it is. I said, do you have anything in your pocket that's going to stick me? And the reason we do that, y'all, is because a lot of times when you search these people, they have needles on them, right? Now, I wore gloves that had Kevlar, the bulletproof material, on the front side for that reason, and especially when I'm shaking people down. But and it was cold that night also. But and he didn't answer me. And I said, do you have anything that's going to stick me? And he didn't answer me. I said, listen, I'm going to reach into the pocket now. And I'm going to take out what's in there. I said, unless you want to tell me ahead of time what it is. He didn't answer me. Soon as I'm reaching in, I start to reach in with my right hand around his front into that goose down vest. Soon as I put my hand in the pocket, bitch, it was on. Okay. Now, there's two times you really have to be cautious. The first is if you're going to pat for somebody and they're holding something, that's why you always want them a little bit off balance, leaning forward a little bit, hands out, et cetera, so you have somewhat control in case they decide to run or fight. And because that's what's going to happen when you actually go to reach in and get whatever it is that's illegal. If they're going to fight or flight, that's when it's going to happen. The second time is when you go to cuff someone. Now, 9 times out of 10, if you tell someone to turn around, put the hands behind their back, and that's when you go to cuff them up, absolute guarantee you better damn well hold on to those cuffs as tight as you can in the middle. Hold mine in the middle and get them to turn around. You hit one wrist, click, click. That's when they're going to fight. And now there's nothing more dangerous than a cuff. But you get one on, and if they break that your hold on it, then now they've got a weapon on their wrist, which they can swing if they're going to fight, right? I didn't even get to the point of cuffing this guy. I went, start to put my hand in the pocket, my left arm still up on his back. He turned around and even though he was off balance, He spun around as hard as he could with his left elbow, and it caught me in the face. Now I was able to duck my head down a little bit. It's like slow motion, y'all. It seems like it takes 1,400 years, but it happens in a split second. And I just knew right when he started to spin, I knew it was coming. So I ducked my head to his back, but he still hit me. And he spun all the way around, and he hit me with his left elbow. It knocks me a little bit sideways, and then I'm coming back up and get back up. He wasn't running, okay? He wanted to fight. And I'm coming back up, and that bitch started raining down blows on me. I'm talking about, like, hit me in my head and as hard as he could. And he was a big dude, and it hurt. But I ducked down, and when he started swinging on me, I swung up with the hardest uppercut that I could and hit him as hard as I could underneath his jaw. Hit him underneath his jaw as hard as I could. Didn't faze this bitch. And then he starts raining down blows on me. And it's on. It's a 14-108 resisting officer, right? And he's fighting me. We're trading punches, but I stayed in as close as I could to him because he's such a big guy that, I mean, he's trying to hammer fist down on me, but I'm staying in close as I can. I'm punching up, and the other deputies didn't even see it. They were standing up at the front of the fucking truck talking to each other, facing each other. And I'm like, 108, 108. And then we're trading punches, boom, 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 boom. And then the guy put me in a damn headlock. And when he did, all I could do is grab his lower left leg and pull it out from underneath him. So then we go to the ground. And at some point, the other two deputies come up. Now, here's the deal. I don't care what you see on cop shows or whatever. It is hard as fuck to handcuff somebody if they are resisting. Now, this guy, I was nowhere near to getting him cuffed. But the other two deputies come up at some point. It seemed like I'd been down there fighting. We're rolling on the ground. He's got me in a headlock. And, I mean, I hit him in the nuts. I hit him everywhere that I could. Basically get my ass kicked, but not that bad. But I'm hitting him with everything that I have in close quarter combat. And at some point, the other deputies, I feel them jump in. Now they're trying to get him off of me. He's trying to choke me out and kill me in the headlock. And they were able to break the arm hold. Well, guess what? There's four of us on the ground now, right? Fighting. Three of us on this one guy. And somebody was able to say 108 on one of the other deputies, which on the radio, which means send back up. And then immediately when the radio room, the dispatchers hear that, they 1033 the net, which means they'll hold the net except for emergency traffic. Cops need assistance, right? They're in a fight. And y'all, we fought. And it's just one of those things where you're raining down blows. At some point, one of the other deputies was able to get their freeze plus P out and spray him. Well, the problem with that is when you spray him and you're rolling around the ground, everybody gets sprayed, right? So I told you about freeze plus P before. When you first get sprayed with it, you're like, oh, it's not that bad for about a minute and a half, and then it automatically causes your eyes to swell shut, and it gives you that I'm dying breath, like you're drowning, right, if you will. And so now I'd fought in it so many times, et cetera. I knew how to try to control my breathing and not freak out. But I'm sprayed with freeze plus P. I was being choked out. And the adrenaline's pumping, and we're fighting. But guess what? We couldn't get him under control. I mean, this was one big, strong monster of a man. In all that shit they teach you in the academy about straight arm bar takedowns and soft empty hand control and palm heel strikes and all that bullshit, it goes out the window, y'all. When you're in a fist fight, it's a fist fight. You punch me, I'm going to punch you back. And I know you've heard me tell you this before, but it's just the way that it is, right? And so I could hear sirens coming in the distance. And we are, I mean, I'm talking about blows are being rained in every direction. And I think at one point he kicked, well, I know he did. He kicked one of the deputies in the shin, and who was like leaning over towards his hip part. I think it was the same one that sprayed, kicked him in the shin. He went down. He's out. You know, he's down on the ground holding his leg. But I could hear the sirens coming. The cavalry's coming to save the day. But this fight might have been 4 minutes, maybe. And now we've got spray, serious blows being thrown, elbows, knees, fist punches in the face and everywhere else, and nothing. I mean, this guy's getting the best of all of us, but the long story short, you know, the other sirens are coming in and they get there. And I guess it looked like the Rodney King thing from back in the day. In the end, by the time everybody got there, this dude was still fighting, even though he had been sprayed and he couldn't see. He's blindly fighting, but he was so cock strong that, you know, I don't know how many it took, probably like six deputies on him before we were able to pin him down. And somebody was able to get a hand behind his back and get that cuff on him, and they were able to force around and get the other cuff on him. And monster of a man. The whole thing, probably the whole fight and getting him cuffed, et cetera, probably took, I don't know, 6 minutes from beginning to end, maybe 8 minutes, but it seemed like 18 freaking years, right? So finally get him down. Or they get the cuffs on him and he's face down. Somebody went and got some shackles and because he was still trying to kick. And so sitting on, not the George Floyd sitting on him, we weren't sitting on his neck or whatever. I wasn't sitting on Dick. I couldn't barely see because of the freeze plus P and my adrenaline's ripping so hard. And somebody went and got some shackles and shackled his feet, and we hogtied him, right? And used another pair, or they hogtied him, used another pair of handcuffs to bring his legs back up once they got the shackles on him, up towards his back, and then extended his arms down with the cuffs down and took another pair of cuffs and ran him from the cuffs to the shackles. So now he's hogtied. This dude can't move. And look, by the way, he's like 300 some pounds, all right, but not fat, just a big monster of a man. Great. Call it in, 259-1015, one white male, 1064 the net, which means you can let traffic go. Well, y'all, what happens in a situation like that when your adrenaline's pumping so hard and, you know, you're going and you go for however long, well, you don't realize. Most of the time, you don't realize any injuries that you have until after your adrenaline starts to calm down. And then I was sitting back on the ground, and I just realized my hand is just fucking killing me. My right hand, I was like, holy shit, man. And I mean, I'm talking about bad pain. I knew I had messed something up, right? And then I reached up with my left hand, and my mouth was bleeding. I guess it was an elbow or one of his punches or whatever. He busted my tooth had gone into my lip on my right-hand side of my face. So I'm bleeding, but I looked down at my hand and my finger, my ring finger on my right hand was bent like in a not natural position. I mean, it's just fucking bad. Like bent backwards at a 45 degree angle. And I'm like, holy shit. Then I started shaking and stuff. I mean, I knew I was hurt. I knew my hand was hurt pretty bad. And now look, I've had broken bones and all kinds of shit, right? I had fractured skull before and all of this stuff, but this was, you know, I'm sitting on the ground and I'm looking and I'm bleeding and I'm looking at my finger and I started shaking and almost got nauseous, I guess from the freeze plus P and the adrenaline and everything else. But one of the guys came up and was like, hey, you know, are you all right? And I'm like, no, man, my hand is fucked. And the supervisor arrived by that time, and it was Mike Irwin. I think he flies the helicopters now for the sheriff's office. But, and he was a great supervisor, great guy, and you know, didn't take any shit and always took care of his people. And he said, Woody, let me look at you. And he looked at my face and he said, man, you might need some stitches in your mouth. But I said, that's not the problem, bro. I said, look at my hand. And I held it up. My hand was shaking. And he was like, oh, fuck, we got to get you to the hospital, right? And he said, your shit is definitely broken. And so they had called Acadian, some of the other guys, oh, for the one that got kicked in the leg, too. He couldn't even walk. And so they called for Acadian. And I told Mike, I said, I'm not riding a fucking ambulance. I said, you're going to have to go to the hospital regardless. I said,
why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's badlandsfood.com/RLRC. Looking for a new and healthier way to unwind? I was too, and then I tried Recess Mood. Recess Mood replaced that after-dinner alcoholic beverage for me, so I saw a difference in both my mood and my belly. It's made with real fruit, it is only 20 calories, and it contains no added sugar. Recess Mood is infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol or the hangovers. Recess Mood tastes great, too, and comes in four different flavors. My favorite flavor is the strawberry rose. So whether you need a moment away from the errands, work, and kids, or you just need a moment of chill during dinnertime chaos, Recess Mood is where it's at whenever you need to relax and unwind. You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/RLRC and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement.
You know, let me just ride with you. And he was like, you can, that's fine, you can ride with me. And so got the other guy loaded up for his leg. And we went to, well, the hospital was closest one at that time, was right across the bridge in East Baton Rouge Parish. Shit, I forget the name of it, Oshner's or something. But it's changed now, I think. So we go to that emergency room and get out, and they bring the other deputy in for his leg, and they have to go take him for an x-ray. And then the doctor came and looked at me and looked at my mouth, and, you know, they put some gauze on it, et cetera. But I showed my hand. He said, oh, yeah. He said, you're definitely, if it's not broken, then it's definitely dislocated. Let's go in and get you an x-ray. So the x-ray tech came. Mike had called the sheriff and everything. And the x-ray tech came and they put me in. I remember them putting, you know, when you go in the x-ray room and put your hand on that plate to do the thing. I remember my hand just shaking. I mean, it wasn't even adrenaline at this point. I think it was from the pain. I'm going to tell you something, it fucking hurt. And I've had a lot of broken shit and it hurt bad. But they took the x-ray of it and then they wheeled me to a room. And the doctor came in and Mike came in with him. And the doc said, hey, look, Your shit is not broken, he said, but it's definitely dislocated. He said, the problem is we've got to put it back into place. And he said, do you want us to put you to sleep to do it? And I'm like, fuck, no, I don't want to go under for anything. You know, I said, just do what you got to do. He said, no. He said, there's no way. He said, there's no way we're going to do it without something. He said, let me give you a pill that will make you where you at least you won't remember it. And I was like, all right, whatever. Yeah, just fix it because this shit hurts. So I remember Mike being there in the room with me. And they gave him the pill, and it took like 20 minutes, or it was a loopy pill. I don't know what it was, y'all, but Mike was there with me, and I remember him doing it, but I don't remember the pain of it. I remember him popping or bending my finger back into place and, you know, screaming out, et cetera. But they fixed it and taped it up and what have you. But evidently they gave me whatever pill was a loopy pill. I don't remember what all I said, but Mike actually drove me home. Somebody else had gotten my unit from the scene. Mike drove me home, and the stuff was, you know, making me sleepy and all that. But he picked on me for a long time afterwards. He said, "Bro, you had no idea the crazy, funny shit you were saying when you were all fucked up from that peel." But anyway, the other deputy was all right. I think his shin was bruised really bad. So bad guy goes to jail. We charged him with the injury of an officer's. Turned out the material. I think it was the next day. The detectives had the contractor came in, and a bunch of those houses had been robbed of stuff, and they were able to identify the boards as coming from the site. And when they searched the guy after he was down, he had meth on him in the meth pipe. So he went to jail on a bunch of felony charges. Then they added more charges. The probable cause, whether they stuck or not, for him burglarizing the construction sites. And I remember going to the probable cause hearing and having to testify the free shot, right, that he gets to get out. Having to testify about the fight. And I remember the public defender, when he was questioning me about it, he was like, "Well, you punched my client in the face." And I said, I hope I did. You know? And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Hell, he was, you know, trying to kill me." And he said, "Well, you had to go to the hospital. Your hand was hurt." I said, "That's right." He said, "So you punched my client." I said, yeah, I punched him as hard as I could and probably as many times as I could, motherfucker. I didn't say motherfucker in the courtroom. I said, and I would do it again. He said, "Well, don't you think that you shouldn't have been so aggressive with my client?" I said, "Hey, he turned and spun on me. He hit me with his elbow. He started raining down blows upon me. Did I punch him? Yeah, I punched him. I punched him as hard as I could, and it didn't do anything." I said, "And I would do it again today." Anyway, long story short, he ended up taking a plea, and he had to pay restitution. He had to pay the medical bills, restitutions for the deputies involved, and he got some time. I think the judge gave him like 2 years. The plea, they pled him down to like 2 years. I mean, proving that he actually stole the stuff from construction site, even though he had boards in the back of the truck. I mean, you can't prove that shit beyond a reasonable doubt, but you can definitely prove by my injuries and my busted face. Yeah, I forgot they'd take pictures of that. The detective came out to the hospital when I was all looped up on the pills or whatever it was they gave me, and took pictures of my, you know, facial injuries and my hand and all that. And of course, we had the doctor's report, et cetera. So we would have slammed him on that, no doubt. And the resisting, the injuring an officer, actually it was second degree battery, because anytime you get into an altercation, if somebody hits somebody and it causes such pain that I think the law reads it, extreme physical pain, that if you're on the receiving end of it and you have extreme physical pain, you lose consciousness, or get disfigurement, or you have to seek medical attention, it makes it a second-degree battery. Well, y'all, that's the same thing as attempted murder in the state of Louisiana. Now, again, battery in the rest of the United States is the battery and assault are different than they are in Louisiana. It's swapped. In Louisiana, a battery is the unwanted touching. In the rest of the United States, a battery is the threat, okay? In Louisiana, an assault is actually the verbal threat. Or if you pick up a gun, you point at somebody and you don't shoot them, that's an aggravated assault because you're using a firearm. But there's different levels of it, but it's swapped everywhere else. If you're in Texas or California, you hear me say second-degree battery, it's not a threat, okay? It was second-degree battery, which is the same thing. There was no attempted murder charge on the book. So he had serious shit. I think he took 2 years, and they let him out on one. No, it must have been longer than 2 years. Whatever it was, after 2 years, I got a call from the parole officer, and it said, hey, do you mind if this guy gets out? He's gone through drug rehab programs in the prison and blah, blah, blah. And he had had several arrests before, but none of crime and violence. He was just a dope head thief. And I told him, no, I don't mind if he gets out. The same thing like when my vehicle got broken into in my neighborhood when I was a detective and I found the guy that did it. And they called me out of respect and said, hey, do you mind if he gets parole? And he'd been in like 5 or 6 years. I'm like, nope. But tell him if he ever comes around me, he's going to spring a leak, right? Because I'm going to kill him. And I told him the same thing. I said, I hope he's straight. I hope he goes on and lives a great and productive life. But if he ever fucking comes near me again, I'm not going to fight him. I'm not going to hurt my hand. And I'm not going to get my mouth busted open. I'm going to put a bullet in him. So anyway, I was thinking about that, y'all. I know it's a little bit of a different story. But it popped in my mind when I saw Billy the other night. And he was dressed up like Rip from Yellowstone. And I thought of him. First thing I thought of him, because he's like 6'8" and just a massive hunk of a man. And the first thing I thought of was that big son of a bitch we had to fight on. And actually, that's the only time, I think that's the only time in my career that I ever had to go to the emergency room for my injuries, right? So, but anyway, it healed up. It was no big deal. After that, I was sore for a little while and what have you. But in my face was, a little fucked up. But it is what it is. So anyway, I love and appreciate y'all. I know this was a little bit different. I was sitting down this morning recording a commercial, and I said, you know what? Let me tell this story while I'm thinking of it. So I hope y'all enjoyed it. Thank you for being Patreon members and convicts. And hey, Patreon members, convicts are basically Patreons in the Real Life Real Crime community app, which is free to download. But if you're already a Patreon member and you want to swap over, it's really, really easy. There's instructions on how to do it. But if you can't figure out how to do it, then message Cindy Overton or Cindy, C-Y-N-D-I, at reallifeRealCrime.com, and she'll get you taken care of, or you can message her on Facebook or whatever. But the app is where it's at, y'all. It's like the crew page on steroids. It has all these different forums and group chats and true crime stuff that gets posted every day, this day in history, all this crazy stuff. You get points or stars or whatever they're called for discounts on merch and stuff like that. But if you also, the convicts, the Patreon members basically that are have swapped over to the app, they get all the benefits that you get from being a regular Patreon member, but everything's in one place. So if you want to swap over, great. And that'd be awesome. If you don't want to, that's fine too. But the convicts, I hope you're enjoying the app. And there will be some video stuff on there and some more stuff on there that may not be on the Patreon, Facebook only page, et cetera. I'm trying to get away from the Facebook part because we get censored every day, and nobody's censoring the Real Life Real Crime community app except for Woody Overton. And y'all know you have to be a real asshole for me to say something to you, right? Or just, you know, a troll that gets in there and wants to start shit with good people. I don't put up with that. But check it out. I appreciate y'all. Love you so much. And this show would not run without y'all. And we will be doing more stuff. The holiday season's coming up. I'm going to do some videos. Y'all had done the Bull and Peanut video. I boiled peanuts for 3 fucking days because it takes that long, right? 3 different big batches worth. I had all the new camera, the video set up, and had recorded it all. Well, I came to record in the studio, and I put that chip in because it still had more hours on it, right, to record on. And I put that chip in, and it's said, do you want to calibrate this chip or something like that? And I hit the wrong button. Evidently, I erased it all. But I'm going to fry my turkeys. We're going to do that live. And I'm going to do it for Patreon and convicts. And so where you can, you know, I'm going to drink beer. I'm going to fry the turkeys. I'm going to get out the Jackie syringe and show you how to inject the turkey and get it all prepped and everything else. And we have all this new high dollar equipment and stuff, which we wouldn't have if it wasn't for y'all's support. So I'm gonna try to do more, okay? And stay tuned, because we got a lot more stuff coming for y'all, not just episodes, but a lot more stuff that we are actively planning to set up for convicts and Patreon. But again, I love y'all. I appreciate you. If wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for y'all. Of course, we've grown phenomenally, but we wouldn't have been able to start concentrating and on doing things like building the app and the live shows and all this different stuff if it wasn't for your contribution. And I'll never, ever be able to tell you how much I appreciate it, and hope you enjoyed this episode. I know it was different, pretty much just me rambling, but I love y'all. I appreciate you. Y'all don't forget about the Crew Bash, the VIP. I think they're almost sold out, but that's going to be an all-night deal on Friday night, February 4th in downtown Baton Rouge. The Crew Bash itself is on my birthday, February 5th. And we've got people coming in from all over the United States. I know a lot of y'all, patrons and convicts that are coming. So, but anyway, that's if you haven't got your tickets, I think you get discounts for whatever. I don't know all the stuff on the Patreon and the convict benefits, but if you haven't got your tickets, get them, because especially if you want to go to the VIP event, because there's a handful of those left. But anyway, that's it. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time.
Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay in conjunction with iHeartRadio and Cloud 10 Media.
This is the Patreon Mix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.